Hi, this is Bill with Kosiaba Fitness, and today I have another great guest for you to listen to. A young man that I recently found out about while I was interviewing Dan John, one of my all-time heroes. And we were wrapping up the interview, and I said, so what's going on in the future with you, Dan? And he said, well, I've got a book project. I'm helping out this guy who's writing a great fat loss book. And I said, really, tell me about it. He said, well, why don't you get in touch with him and let him tell you about it? He's a good guy. It's a good book. And I said, is Lurie publishing it, meaning Lurie Draper? And he said, yeah. I said, well, if Lurie's backing him up and you're backing him up, I got to talk to him. So I did my research because, quite honestly, I didn't know the name myself. Saw his name online, checked out his blog, went, okay, I like the way this guy writes. He's got a really fun style of writing. He's putting all the good information in there, and it's not dry and boring. And I sent him an email and said, can we do an interview? And he said, absolutely. He sent me a copy of his book, which hasn't even come out yet. And, well, that's enough of me rambling. Let's let him talk about himself in his own words. The newest author in the publishing house of On Target Publications, Josh Hillis.
Hey, how's it going, Bill?
It's going great, Josh. How you doing?
Good, really good.
How's the weather in Colorado today?
Today, it's actually not snowing, so that's pretty cool. I think it's probably about 20, 30 degrees.
Wow. In Florida are the only places that it's not snowing.
Right, exactly. Cool.
All right, Josh. Well, you know, I'm all over the internet, and honestly, I didn't know too much about you. I saw your name in the RKC Book of Strength, and beyond that, didn't really know you. So why don't you talk about your background a little bit? How did you get to where you are?
Okay, cool. I became a personal trainer in 2004. I had had kind of a weird little door-to-door sales marketing, local business marketing business before that. And was getting out of it, and I was thinking, what would be the most fun thing I could possibly do? And I came up with personal training, and I studied for the NASM test, and became a trainer, and started training. And the clients that I got were almost always fat loss. I'd done Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for a few years before that, and I kind of assumed that I would be like a kettlebell training strength coach for Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu fighters, and at least at the time there was no market for that. What I got was mostly women that were busy professionals that wanted to lose like 5 to 20 pounds, and so I just kind of went with that, and I kind of dug in on fat loss, and I had kind of a breakthrough in that when I guess I'd been a trainer for about 6 months when I did 24 Hour Fitness was where I was working at the time, and they had a course through this company called Apex, and they taught like a little mini nutrition course, and this guy teaching the course was like, look, if your people aren't keeping a food journal, you're not training them. You're doing them no favors. And he had this whole thing about how if they don't bring their food journal, you should take them to the group X room and make them do military-style calisthenics until they puke, and then make them mop it up, and that's what they're paying you for. And it was kind of ridiculous, but like I went away from that going like, okay, like the deal is coaching food. And not necessarily even coaching food, but holding people accountable to their food. And that actually changed everything. That became like a 10-year process of looking into what does it take to have people actually make changes to their food, what does it take to have people actually like keep their food journal on an ongoing basis, and what's going to have people not feel judged, and what are small enough steps for them to take, and like that. And that's kind of what I've been doing mostly since. I've done a lot of online coaching where I mostly just look at people's food journals. I've done a lot of one-on-one training. I've done a lot of four-on-one training. And I've been blogging for about 10 years also, which actually a lot of people might not think about it quite like this, but like the writing, like writing down what I do has completely and totally just like been a conduit to crystallize what I do. And writing the ebooks has helped me put things into systems, and then I would take those back and like test those on all my clients and see what worked and see what didn't work. And I guess I've been doing that for about 7 years, where I'll take a concept or a group of workouts or a nutrition habit group and test it on all my clients for a couple of years and see what happens. And that's been an interesting process also, just actually like taking one thing, forcing it on everyone, and then seeing what happens.
I've got to interrupt you there, because what you're doing right now is something most authorities would never do. You're admitting you've taken concepts that you went, well, this looks good, but I don't really know. And you've gone, let's see if it works. Yeah. Now, there are other authorities that we both know in the industry that would say, it works. I know it works. No, I didn't have any doubt. But you're just being real straightforward about going, looks good, but who knows? Let's give it a shot.
Yeah. Well, I've made the mistake the other way, you know? I wrote my first ebook when I was actually in Brazil. I was in Brazil studying Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and I had some free time while I was there, and I wrote an ebook while I wasn't training people, and I was still kind of a newish trainer at the time, and it was like complete crap. It was like such complete crap. I couldn't believe it.
Did it sell?
No. Actually, fortunately, I don't know if you ever heard of Ryan Lee, but at the time he was doing a lot of fitness marketing and a lot of fitness marketing mentoring, and I hired him to mentor me on my first book, and he read it and he was like, this is total crap, you need to throw that away and start from scratch.
Okay, and, well, at least he was honest with you.
He was very honest. He was super, super, super honest. And he had a really smart phrase. He was like, let's start with something that people have actually paid you for. And I was like...
What a concept.
Yeah, right? So my first ebook after that with him, I basically did just that. I had like a lot of things I was doing with clients at the time. This was after I got back from Brazil and I was training full time again. And I had a lot of different ideas, and I thought I knew what worked, and it was totally different when I put it down into one program and tested it on all like 35 of my clients at the time. And I ended up testing it on like kind of, it was an 8-week program, and at the time I was so, not like a perfectionist, but like I was concerned. Like I was concerned that it sucked. So I would put people through this 8-week program, get them the results, then I would actually kick them out and get someone new and put them through the program. And I did probably about 6 months of that. And that was my first ebook. And I got hooked on this process of like putting people through my systems and using that to refine it. And, you know, seeing how it went. I mean, there were times where like, I would try something with my 7 a.m. client, and it would be different by my 8 p.m. client because I, you know...
Refine.
Because I could see it.
Mm-hmm.
You could see what worked and didn't work. And but anyway, that was still back when I was still way focused on workouts, and I hadn't entirely made the shift to food being the number one thing. And that's been a process over the last 6 or 7 years. Of looking at like, hey, what would happen if I actually had the balls to put food first and the workout second and really get at the stuff that that would make a difference for people, you know? So, so I started to make the switch where when I train people, in like I would put the workout second. Like we would sit down and they talk about their food, we'd look through the food journal, and we would handle that until that was handled. And so sometimes we'd spend 45 minutes talking about their food and work out in the like 5 minutes that was left over. Sometimes they'd have all their stuff handled and we'd spend 5 minutes talking about their food and we'd work out for 45. But it really helped to put my money where my mouth was and let the clients know that the food was the thing, and that, you know, there really was nothing else to do. until we planned out their week and we'd handled their social events, and we knew what they were cooking, or we knew if they needed to go shopping, or, you know, we could handle all those little things that were actually the things that would make a difference versus, you know, another 5 minutes more of working out.
Okay.
So
I'm curious, before you got into all this, growing up and so forth, were you an athlete? Because usually he's laughing. And we didn't talk about this before I put the recorder on either. But usually people that get really into fat loss, it's like the drug addict that's the best drug counselor. Were you like an overweight kid?
No. I wasn't overweight. I was the kid that was like perpetually like 120 pounds, and you know, like when I think about sports as a kid, I think about like going to the park and playing football, and this one time that I was running with the ball and this other kid picked me up, ran me back to the end zone and spiked me. That really happened. You can't pick that up. Right? So I was that guy, and I was so unbelievably uncoordinated. I couldn't play any ball sports because I just had no coordination, had no, like, I mean, it was ridiculous. When I ran track, I had to run the longer events because I almost couldn't stay in my lane for the sprints. That's how ridiculously uncoordinated I was. Later, I found out that I actually had a visual issue, and I had to do some visual therapy, and I needed glasses. But I didn't know that growing up. So I was the kid that was last picked at everything. I ended up, that being said, I did end up running track, and I did pretty well in track. I ran like a 4:26 mile, and I think like a 9:28 2 mile, and a 15:45 5K. And so I was pretty fast running because I could do the work, and I had a genius coach. Like, this coach was... He got periodization, he got team building, he got all of those things, and so I could run with a good team and with a good coach and with a lot of heart, but I was not an athlete by any traditional sense of the word.
Okay, because it seems that the people that I've met in the industry are either from backgrounds of being fantastic athletes who excelled, or people like me who were, you know, not at all an athlete, or the, you know, proverbial last one picked.
Yeah.
So it just seems to go that route. It's either the super athlete or the we had to overcome.
Right. Well, and so that's actually what got me into this was that I was doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and I was getting rocked. I was like underweight, I was weak, I was uncoordinated, I was like all of those things. And yeah, I got completely fascinated by the idea that, like, this stuff could be taught, and that if you had a good teacher, you could overcome those things, and that there were, like, better ways to do it, and it all sounds ridiculous saying that now, but now that I know how to, like, teach field skills, if I get someone that's uncoordinated, I can teach them field skills, and, like, I can teach someone to throw and catch, and I can teach someone to, like, I can get someone stronger, it's ridiculous, but like I grew up thinking that wasn't the case, you know? And looking back, I just realized I just didn't actually have any good coaches until that first track coach, actually cross-country coach. But it led into track. And so it's one of those things where it's just getting completely just like mind blown that, like, wow, there's good ways to do this, and I want to learn them, and I want to, like, pay it forward, and I want to, you know, it's, so that was my thing. And, you know, like I mentioned, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I sucked at Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for 4 straight years, and I went to Brazil, and I had one of the best teachers in the world, and everything changed for me in about 2 months. And it's just like constantly comes back to that, like, that a good teacher can teach you. You know, a good coach can improve your performance. And most of what we see, even in personal training and coaching and PE class, is just running people around and hoping that the people that are gifted, you know, like selecting.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of like recruitment versus coaching. So anyway, that's kind of a tangent, but that's what what originally got me really fired up about this whole industry.
Okay. Well, what you're talking about there, coaching is the key, because a good or a bad coach or PE instructor will either make or break a kid. I mean, I had PE teachers that did not know how to deal with me, and they made me just totally hate the class. They just didn't know what to do with me, so it was, you know, I was a total non-athlete.
Yeah.
But you get a coach that goes, okay, you can't do this. How about we have you lift some weights? I would have gone, hey, this is great, but nobody thought of that.
Right.
Your clients must love you. Your energy and your enthusiasm is awesome.
Thanks, Bill. I appreciate that.
Okay, you're not an RKC. How did you end up in the RKC Book of Strength? Because I think at that time, weren't they like, you know, if you're not one of our boys, you're not going to be in our book.
I was an RKC.
Oh, you were?
I was an RKC from 2004 to about 2009.
Okay.
So, I was an RKC. I went to the certification a bunch of times. I was an assistant at the certification a couple times. I definitely went that route.
Okay.
And all that happened was when there was a big split between RKC and SFG, I was gonna like wait and see like which side to go with, kind of and then I realized it didn't matter at all.
No, it really doesn't, because I mean Dan went with Pavel, but I still see, you know, like the new Danny Cavadlo book that just came out. I see there's a review by Dan. It's like they're not gonna take Dan off the RKC site.
Right, of course. Right.
You know, that would just be spiting themselves, but no, the politics is nonsense.
Yeah, I've got so many friends on both sides. I know so many phenomenal coaches on both sides.
Sure. No, I understand completely. I looked at your credentials on the site, and I just didn't see RKC or SFG, and I just didn't know if you were one of the many really good kettlebell people out there, or if you had gone through one of the certs or not.
Yeah, I went through RKC, I went through RKC 2, I went to RKC a bunch. When they split, I just stopped.
Okay.
How do I put this in a...
Just say it.
Okay, so it doesn't have a lot to do with my clients anymore.
Right, okay, there you go. It's not, it doesn't affect your business.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's really what it comes down to. I can teach the swing pretty well. I can teach squats and presses and all those things. And at the risk of sounding arrogant, I don't need to see it again.
No.
You know? So right now in my personal fitness journey, I'm doing other things. I'm leaning towards gymnastics right now. And if I get another like if I get another certification that isn't a national certification, it'll probably be something bodyweight related, just because that's what I'm doing right now for myself.
Sure. That's cool. Just trying to get all the background out there for people that don't know who you are.
Yeah. And then, and that being said, that's not to say that I'm not investing in my professional education. I actually moved to California for 2 months and did an internship with Alan Cosgrove at Results Fitness, because he's one of the best in the world at fat loss.
Yep,
he
is.
So I wanted to see how he trained and how he, you know, I wanted to see what they did, you know, because I mean, I've been reading his stuff forever, and I thought that was a good use of my time, and it was. It was amazing to see exactly what someone really does in real life for 2 straight months.
Mm-hmm.
That was amazing. It was kind of like being at the RKC every day for 2 months.
But you saw him actually working with his clients. Anybody can be on for a 2-day seminar. You got to see what it's really like. All right, 6 a.m. All right, Mrs. Jones is coming in. All right, where's my coffee?
Yeah, right.
So you got to see the real deal. Yeah, and I got to tell you, the fact that you mentioned his name, and is it his ab book that you mentioned multiple times?
Oh, I didn't. Yeah, it's Alan and Lou Schuler did The New Rules of Lifting for Abs. And it's a great like if someone wants to go deeper on core stuff, it's a great book. And it's also great that it that like the core part of the book is like it's a big chunk and it fits into a larger program of getting the food right, you know, squats, deadlifts, presses, pull up, you know, I mean it's complete in that way. Which is why I recommended it.
No, well, see, I just finished last night reading your book, and I did read it cover to cover. I didn't just skip it.
Amazing. I appreciate that. It's a long book.
Well, I'll tell you, I honestly got to tell you this, and I'm not going to edit this out because I like leaving this stuff in. People find it funny. Okay. was cursing you at two different times because, you know, I have it in, the way I read something is I'll take the PDF and translate it to a text file, and then my computer just reads.
Oh, cool.
So I just left the text file open on my computer. I'd sit down, I'd read a chapter or a few pages or whatever, then I'd come back to it later. And yeah. My computer updated. So, you know, your computer updates, it shuts down, right?
Yeah.
And it closed the file, and I had no idea where I was.
Oh, no.
So I had to, and I couldn't just go page 47. And I just, it was like, oh, no, I got to go through this again.
Oh, jeez.
But I finished it last night, and I went, oh, I like the fact that you have recommended other readings in there. You have no problem recommending some of Pavel's stuff, and no problem recommending Alwyn Cosgrove's book. And I respect an author a whole lot more when they don't try and say, I am the expert, where they're constantly, you know, giving credit in other directions. Like, you know, Dan will constantly talk about his coaches.
Yeah.
And I really have so much more respect for somebody like yourself and like Dan when they start giving the credit to other people who got them where they are. Ooh, hey, you want to know more about this? This guy knows about it. Talk to him.
Yeah. Yeah, right?
And that is so much better than dealing with the egos that, you know, I am the be-all and end-all. If I didn't know it and I didn't tell you, it don't exist.
Well, okay, speaking of giving credit where credit's due, here's something that I haven't talked about in a while, but, like, the book came from a conversation. It came from two conversations with Dan. There was one time where Dan was in Denver, and he was like, hey, we should hang out, and he came out to my house. At the time, I was training out of my garage, and we lived in the garage for a while, and we went and sat on my couch. And he was like, hey, I've got this system for simplifying athletes' training plans. And I was thinking about running your career through the system. And I was like, okay. And so he had me just kind of talk about what I do and like what makes a difference for people and what I look for in terms of like standards and gaps with my athletes and clients. And in about 2 hours, he crystallized everything I had done with my clients at the time into a couple points. And that became a book called System 6 that I released probably about 5 years ago. And the idea there was to simplify the workouts and get to like the food points that would make a difference. And that was actually kind of like an earlier version of the book that's coming out now. In fact, the original idea for this book was to take a lot of the stuff that wasn't as sharp in System 6 out and expand on the stuff that was good, and we're just going to publish that as a hardback book. And I ended up tinkering with that for about a year and a half. Now it's completely unrecognizable. But it was that one conversation with Dan sharpening everything up, and then this new book, Fat Loss Happens on Monday, was him saying, this is what worked about System 6 and this is what to take out. And so his input on this book was, it's not even like input. It's like he was like, cut out all of this, simplify, and expand on like these two concepts. And I guess I should say what the concepts were. Concepts were putting the food first and then having like a basic strength standard for my fat loss clients and kind of easing towards that over time with really reasonable workouts. And the basic strength standard that I have for my female clients is I just have noticed the way I train my clients that usually when women hit their body composition goal, which is usually about 20%, they're usually deadlifting their body weight about 3 times, and they're usually doing about 3 chin-ups. And so it's a big step for a lot of people that do like normal kinds of gym workouts, but at the same time, for a lot of people in like the RKC world or the SFG world or whatever, they're like, that's a really reasonable standard, you know?
It really is.
So that was kind of it was kind of like edging towards that standard and then working on, and then putting the food first. And chunking the food down into habits people could actually do. And really that's been what my career's been about for years now. It's been looking at like what habits do people need to put in, and how can we have people feel like they're winning at food, and how can we stack up a whole bunch of wins?
See, that kind of goes along with Dan with his not A to Z goal, but A to B goals.
And yeah.
You got to have lots of little victories. Forget about running the marathon. Think about the first mile. What's my time at the 5th mile? What's my time at the 10th mile? Because if you think about that whole 26 miles, you're going to go, I can't do this.
Yeah, it's overwhelming.
It really is. Now, that was one of the things I really liked about the book was your habits and your strategies. And I was starting to lose track between the habits and the strategies, but it's just you prioritize it so simply and so clearly that nobody can look at this book and go, I don't get it. What, habit number one, the food journal.
Yeah.
How simple is that?
Yeah.
Can you like just, without giving the book away, can you like kind of touch on the habits and maybe go through that list or part of that list to give people an idea what it is?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's some things that I talk about all the time. Like, I've been talking about food journals for a decade. So I actually thought that was really cool in the pre-recording call we were talking about, send me a week of food journals and we'll start from there. I was like, yes. but so it's one of those things where like food journaling's a habit. And if we can look at it like the same way we look at workouts and realize that most people don't have many reps in food journaling, like they don't have enough practice.
Mm-hmm.
Then we can take a look at like, hey, if someone hasn't food journaled before in their life ever, if they come back after the first week and they've journaled 3 days, that's a huge win.
Absolutely.
Right? And so it's one of those things where if we get 3 days, 4 days, and we can just start to build that habit, like get in those reps on food journaling, that's amazing by itself. Something about the awareness and like not being able to lie to yourself about what you're actually eating. And lie is probably too strong a word. I think people just have like food amnesia, so it's just getting that awareness is a huge like foundational step. And by the same token, like planning is a huge step. I a lot of times when I'm talking to my clients, I try to equate it with like finances, because the finances are easy to count and people can like, it's a way to get out of like food being this like weird emotional thing that's not like any, your food journal is kind of like your checkbook and your plan is kind of like your budget. And it's one of those things where a lot of my clients will spend, if we spend 20 minutes in a workout session just like planning their food for the week, that's a really good use of time, you know?
Sure.
If we just look at the week and they're like, hey, I've got this event coming up and I don't know what to do. And we can say, hey, what if we make that a free day? Or if they say, hey, I'm going to cook this, this, and this. And I can say, have you gone shopping? When are you going to cook that? When are you going to portion it out? We can, like, really, if we look at the week ahead of time, we almost always see all of the things that are going to come up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we can jump those hurdles ahead of time. And by the same token, if we look at their food journal and they're like, hey, it came apart here, it came apart here, I didn't know what to do here. That's amazing. Like, I actually love it when things don't go according to plan, because that's when we can get strategic. We can say, okay, what happened? Like, is that something that's going to happen again in the future? And they're like, no, that was a total freak incident. Okay, then let's not even worry about it. Or if they're like, yeah, that is going to come up in the future. Like, in fact, that comes up every Thursday. Mm-hmm. Well, then let's get strategic about it, you know?
Yeah.
And so
it's about recognizing that it's going to happen and finding a way to make it work. It's I like the fact that there's no emotion with it and no judgment with it. It's like, okay, you bowl on Thursday nights and everyone you bowl with is doing pizza and beer. What are you going to do while you're there?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, you really have to have that pizza and that beer. Okay, this is your free night.
Yeah.
It's not going to make you a bad person. It's not going to make you a better person. If it's that one night in the week, it's not going to affect your ultimate big picture.
Yeah, exactly. It's just that simple, and it's just that mechanical.
See, people make it so much more complicated. It's just like working out. It's like lift a heavy weight, you get stronger. Eat less calories and less crap, you get leaner. It's not, you know, that's the whole thing right there, but it's not sexy. It's got to be more complicated, and it's got to be sexy, or you're not going to sell it.
Yeah. Well, and so that's part of the problem, is that there's a lot of people selling, complicating it, right? And they, I think they complicate it because it makes it easier to sell, right? Because it is sexier.
That's it.
You know?
That's it exactly, because if I just read, like, all right, the best example, Dan's Easy Strength.
Yeah.
That's the easiest, simplest thing in the world.
Yeah.
And it's like if he did not embellish in the book and go into so much detail on the how and the why and the where, but just wrote the program out, who would buy it?
Right.
But it works. I'm actually going through it right now myself. I was curious to see how it would go, and I'm on the third week of it. So, but awesome. It's people make things, they want to make it more complicated. I don't mind spending $40 on this book, but it better have some new secrets and stuff I never heard of before.
Yeah.
See, another thing I really liked about the book was your fix Monday's breakfast. You didn't say fix every breakfast or fix every meal. It's fix Monday's breakfast.
Yeah.
Baby steps.
Yeah. And, you know, there are some people that can move faster. It's just a matter of letting people know that it's okay not to. You know, I've had clients lose 3% body fat per month changing one meal per week. And it seems ridiculous, but it's just the consistency. You know? It's like, okay, you started with 27 free meals, next week let's do 26. The week after that let's do 25. The week after that, you know?
It's all baby steps.
It's all baby steps. And so it really just comes down to, like, it's kind of like we said before, it's not about what to do, right? And, like, obsessing over what to do is actually a stalling technique.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of, like, how can we piece out, how can we set the pace for changing things that's comfortable for you, that'll actually work in real life? And that's actually remarkably individual. So there are people that'll be like, Monday, sweet, hit breakfast. They'll hit all their breakfast for the week, like, got it, let's do lunch. And there are people where we'll do, okay, let's work on breakfast on Monday, and then next week let's work on lunch on Monday. And it's just, you know, whatever's gonna be the path. Like, okay, so like we're talking about, there's 11 habits in the book, and I've got different sequences. Because I don't coach the habits in the same order every time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some people that are like, that have never logged their food ever, and I'm going to treat them differently from the client that I get that's been logging food obsessively for 3 straight years.
Of course.
I get both.
I'm sure.
You know? So, you know, the client that's been, I mean, because a lot of the clients I get are super motivated, they're pretty type A, they've been working out for years, and they're looking to take it to the next level. And,
you're lucky, you get the easy ones.
Yeah, actually, you know, like, habit-wise, someone that's looking to lose, like, the last 5 pounds mm-hmm. is, them, it's just telling them what to do. And they do it. It's cake. And then the people that have like a ton of weight to lose struggle with implementing the habits, even though physiologically, like, it's super easy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's the fun part, is having both ends of the spectrum and looking at, like, what's the next thing that's going to make a difference for them.
Well, it's good that you have that variety, because that keeps you from getting complacent.
Yeah. Yeah, it keeps it fun. It totally keeps it fun.
That's the most important thing. It has to be fun. I mean, we're all in this to make a living, but if it's not fun...
Yeah.
You got to enjoy your work. It's where you spend most of your time.
Totally. Totally. And I would say that it's more than fun. It's like there's that feeling when someone gets it, and it doesn't matter what it is. It's like if they get like something like a clarity about how to impact their food, or they get like, hey wait, it really is this simple, or like the first time they get their kettlebell swing.
The first time the light goes on.
Yeah. I'll never get over that.
Yeah.
I'll never get over that.
It's a fun feeling, and it's an amazing feeling when you are the person who that happens to. Because there was something in that seminar that I did this past week that you and I were talking about that I just couldn't get, and it was verbalized in a different way, and it was like, ah, somebody just flipped the light switch, and then it was like, I could do it perfectly.
Totally. Oh, man. So this year I started doing like gymnastics inspired fitness, right?
Cool.
And I was doing programs by GMB Fitness, and there's actually a great adult gymnastics gym in town called Awaken, and I started going there, and it's just one of those things where I forget how wonderful it is to be coached, to have someone say like, this is what to do. I'm like, this is great.
It really is fun.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where, until you said that, like it's easy to forget how good it is to be on the other side also.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
So the book kind of started with a previous project that you and Dan played with 5 years ago.
Yeah.
System 6.
Yeah.
So what was the rebirth? What was, you know, was this just, hey, Josh, I talked to Laurie and let's do this? Or whose idea was this? Did you do this? How did you get hooked up with Laurie?
Yeah, so I got hooked up with Laurie on Dan's recommendation originally. And we did that move. We did a movement lectures on how I coach food.
Mm-hmm.
And that went really well. And so I think that definitely helped this, you know, that I have something to offer, and you know, I coach it well. It's also just amazing being edited. Being edited is almost as great as being coached. It's so wonderful to have someone take what I write and make it sound smarter. It's glorious.
Damn, I didn't know I was that good.
Right? And that was a couple years ago, and then System 6 was probably like 5 years ago, and then at Perform Better 2 years ago, Dan was like, hey, let's sit down with Laurie. We want to talk about putting out System 6 as a print book. And so we sat down, and we were looking at, like, Dan was like, I don't even remember what it was at the time, but I took a bunch of notes on, he's like, here's what to cut, and here's what to expand on. And Laurie was like, hey, let's take some of the stuff from your movement lecture and we can fit that in here. And Dan was also like, so part of it is Dan's bus bench versus
park bench
workouts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or said another way, reasonable workouts, reasonable diet versus unreasonable workouts, unreasonable diet. And I put out a book in 2004 called The Stubborn 7 Pounds.
Okay.
And it's sort of like my bus bench or unreasonable workout phase.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, let's combine that in two. And so so most of the book is the reasonable diet, reasonable workouts that were originally inspired from System 6. And then also it's got a phase that was kind of inspired by The Stubborn 7 Pounds, which is the unreasonable workouts, like the unreasonable workout phase. And so both of those we expanded on. And Dan added his chapters, which are genius. I mean, it's Dan, you know.
That's all you got to say.
So that's that's kind of how it came about. And originally, it was going to be a quick like, hey, let's tune up System 6 a little bit, and let's, you know, and let's get this out in 3 months. And that was a year and a half ago. So.
And it turned into this 300-plus page, I can't think of the word I want. I was going to say masterpiece, but I don't
I'll
think...
I'll take it.
Okay.
I'd almost say manual. It's almost kind of like a manual for, like, this is how I coach fat loss, really, with my clients.
But it's a very clear, simple how-to. You take your habits list, your strategies list. It's almost like a plug-and-play. It really is. There's no secrets here. Just apply this. The workouts are there. When to go heavy, when to go light, how long to rest. Yeah. Everything is there. It's like the idiot's guide to.
Yeah. That's what I was going for. And that's how it ended up as long as it was. I was trying to be very complete.
It's thorough. It's very thorough. All the questions. I couldn't think of anything. And when I read something like this, I try and go, okay, let me try and this is my wife accusing me of being the glass half empty, but I try and find the flaws, or try and find what's missing, or what would I ask this person, you know, and I went, okay, he's got it all covered. He doesn't really get a lot into supplementation, but you don't need to get a lot into supplementation.
Right.
If you're eating good.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, if people want to, do you go a lot in stuff? I mean, usually where I go with supplementation is, if you need more protein, let's add some protein.
That's about it.
Yeah.
maybe some fish oil. And
fish oil's great.
That's about it.
Yeah. Both those are actually food.
So yeah. What a concept. It's food.
Yeah. That makes sense to me.
You know, I'd prefer a nice big piece of salmon or some tuna to the capsules, but, you know,
sure.
I'll take the capsules.
Sure.
You can't eat that every day. Can't afford that every day.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So the book is due out next week?
Yeah, the 28th.
Book is due out the 28th. I'm going to make every effort to get this online. Okay, what is the 28th? Is that next Friday?
It's Black Friday.
Black Friday, okay.
It's the day after Thanksgiving.
Okay, well, my wife is going to be making me clean the house Thanksgiving Day, so I can't do this then. But I'll get it up on Friday, because there's no point in having it there before the book's available.
Okay, cool.
We want those impulse buyers to go, oh, it says click here to buy the book. Oh, okay, let's do that.
All right, I'll take it.
I figured you would.
I appreciate it.
No, I appreciate the time, and I appreciate dealing with people like you that are obviously the future of this industry.
Oh, thanks, Bill. You're very kind. You're very, very kind.
Well, you've got all this enthusiasm, you've got this knowledge, and like I said, you got people like Dan behind you, and, you know, that's, how do you go wrong?
Yeah, having Dan's input, and having Dan's mentorship, and having Dan actually, like, add his amazing writing to the book. I mean, like honestly, I read Dan's stuff, and I think if sometime in my lifetime I could write half as good as this, I would feel amazing. And so to have his stuff, like, to have just him actually writing stuff for the book it's like winning the lottery. It's a dream come true.
Oh, you mean like me meeting my hero and having him show up at my first contest that I promoted?
Yes.
Yeah.
Back. Yes, you got it.
I totally get it. I totally get that. That is something that very few people have the pleasure of, is to actually get to meet, or in your case, work with somebody that you have a huge amount of respect for. So the book's coming out. You're going to be a huge celebrity. Your client base is going to double. You're raising your rates.
Yep.
What's in the future for you, Josh? What's after this?
You know what's funny? I wouldn't do a lot different. probably more writing, more blogging. I wouldn't mind doing more speaking. And actually, if I can work it out to make it happen with all this happening at the same time, I'll actually go back to school and become an RD, registered dietitian.
Mm-hmm.
And what's funny is if I can work that out over, it'll be a long timeline. I still won't change anything that I do. I'll still personal train and I'll still write. I just want to keep learning.
That's it. Well, I think when you stop learning, it's time to like just stop.
Yeah, right?
I've learned more since I got back involved in the industry in this past year than I had in so many years from talking with people like Dan and Steve Maxwell and Clarence Bass and now you. And, you know, when you have access to the people that are the best there is in a given industry.
Yeah.
And they're more than willing to say, you want to talk? Let's talk.
Totally, right?
And they all are. They're all just more than willing to give to you. And it's just, it's a wonderful time to be in this particular business, because I don't know any other business that you can go to the best there is and say, you know, what would you do about? And they'll say, come on, let's sit down and talk.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if it's just like the kind of people that get into fitness or what, or the people that are at the top of their game and have all this knowledge and just can't stop themselves from paying it forward. I don't know.
That is just that has made it so much more fun for me recently than I ever expected it to be, really, because it's just
cool.
You know, you ask somebody, can I do an interview with you? Sure. And then it's, and I've done, you know, a few of these interviews I've done, and we're going totally off tangent, but that's all right. Yeah, you know, a few of these interviews I've done, like with Steve and with Dan, I was asking my questions, not what I thought people wanted. Hey, Dan, you know, I'm having a little trouble with my getup when I do this. What do you think I should do?
Right.
It's like this man gets paid a lot of money to coach people, and he's sitting here on the Skype answering my questions for me.
Totally.
It's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
It's totally beautiful. It's amazing. And, like, and it's funny, like, we were talking about the RKC before that. When I took the RKC in 2004, Steve Maxwell was actually my senior, they call it team leader now.
Right.
But he was the senior RKC that led my group. And, I mean, just, like, constant, like, overflowing knowledge and stories at all times. I mean, it was so great. And, and actually, oh man, another tangent, but when I was in Brazil, the first like 2 weeks that I was there, 3 weeks I was there, I was learning absolutely nothing, because they're just like bombarding you with all these, like, here's like 1,000 techniques a day. And I actually caught up with him on the Dragon Door Forum at the time, and I was like, what do? I'm in Brazil, and I'm training 35 hours a week, and I'm learning nothing.
I'm lost.
Yeah. And he was like, oh yeah, that's the way it's designed. He's like, no, you need to hire one guy, do one private a week, or two privates a week, and practice that one or two things that they teach you all week long. Just do that. And like, everything changed for me. Like, everything changed. And that was one of those like little, I mean, he took like 5 minutes and told me the exact thing that would make a difference for me right then, that not just was like the thing to learn for like that specific time in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, but I also extrapolated that out to everything else I've ever done ever. Or it's like, oh, just take like one thing.
That's well,
good at that.
Well, how overwhelming would it be to, you know, to try and learn 10 different things at once? If you didn't go since we keep going back to the RKC, if you didn't go into the RKC prepared, and then, you know, you go in there, all right, we're going to do snatches, now we're going to do clean and press, now we're going to do swings, now, I'd be lost. I'd be just destroyed.
Yeah. And what's funny, though, is, like, even that was only, you know, it's only 6 techniques.
Yep.
You know?
But they beat to death every little detail of them. You have to be exact and precise, and that's really the way you do want to learn. But you got to go into that being prepared.
Oh, totally. I went into that scared. I mean, I was... I mean, I trained for a pretty solid year at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Trained with my first personal trainer that I ever had, this guy named Dave Werner, who at the time owned CrossFit North in Seattle. I think now he's got a different gym. But yeah, no, I mean, I went in thinking if I could survive, that it would be like a massive step forward in who I was in my fitness, you know. And at the time, like now, I look at that as like the beginning. But at the time, I looked at it like climbing Mount Everest, and it was, there was a lot of preparation, a lot that went into it.
Well, so. Everything is based on steps. It's that A to B versus A to Z again, and that was an A to B for you. Now you're, you know, maybe at T or X or somewhere along the line, but I mean, if you hadn't taken those steps then, you wouldn't be where you are now.
Yeah, exactly. It was exactly what I needed at the time, which kind of circles back to this whole thing where it's about like, what is the next step? That's all there ever is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the next step that's going to make a difference towards my goals?
So what is the next step? Actually, I think we just covered that, but what is the next step? The book's coming out.
Oh, yeah. The book's coming out. It's coming out print, audio, digital. Yeah, that's it. I could not possibly be more psyched about it. I can't believe it's actually happening. It's kind of funny, you know, like to work on a project for this long. And it almost gets to a point where you're like, is this ever going to come out?
You see, that's what makes it that much sweeter. If it came that quick and that easy, it wouldn't be as satisfying when it finally happened.
That's true.
I love the fact that Luria is now having authors read their books.
It's so cool.
It really is. Because, I mean, I listen to books anyway because it's, you know, that's how I have to do it. But I'm listening to this mechanical digital voice. But to listen, if I were to listen to Dan reading Intervention or listen to you with your energy reading this, reading your words, so you're putting the inflection where you know in your heart that this is the important stuff.
Right.
It's going to make, I mean, because honestly, there are parts of this book where you're talking about what you have to do that it can be kind of boring. It's step one, step two, step three. But by you reading it and you know what's important, you're going to make this fun.
Yeah. I really, really, really tried to. And I kind of almost enjoy the performance aspect of it.
There's nothing wrong with that. You sound like you're embarrassed to say that. We're all performers. You're a performer every time you're sitting down with a client.
That's true. That is totally true.
Because if you walk in and you're, you know, if they walk in for that 7 o'clock workout and you've got your Starbucks coffee and a bagel with cream cheese there and you're telling them, all right, you really need to cut your carbs back, you know, yeah, I don't care if you got that bagel and cream cheese in the office. You're not going to let the client see it.
Right.
You are a performer. Anytime we deal with the public, we're performers.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, so I dig it, you know, and it's easy to do. I shouldn't say it's easy to do. It was very hard to do. It was hard to get it right, and but it's comforting knowing that Lori's gonna edit it and make it sound right. Because it's hard, like it's harder for me at least to read exactly what I was gonna say versus giving a speech and having like bullet points and being able to kind of riff and go with it, and if I make a mistake, just kind of keep going. So anyway, it's a fun, interesting, hard experience reading it, but it's cool, like you said, getting to put the emphasis where it's supposed to go, getting to bring some energy to it.
Yeah, nobody else could read that book like you could read it. Nobody else could read one of Dan's books like he's gonna read it.
Yeah,
because you know where it's supposed to be a big deal and where you're supposed to go. Okay, let's just skim through this crap because we have to.
Right, and the parts that I do get excited about, and then like you said, there are some chapters that are kind of dry. You know, there's the points where it's like going through the sequences, there's parts that I get excited about, and also it's just like, here I am reading the habits again, you know?
Yeah, but you have to do that. You have to kind of, you got to beat people over the head sometimes.
Yeah.
You really do. So yeah, okay, I noticed, in fact, there were a couple times I thought I read the same page a couple times. Because it was rehashing the habits, but it's like he's just emphasizing the really important stuff.
Yeah, and for the people that are listening to get what's going on there, I've got all the habits, and then I break them into five sequences. And so I do go back through the habits because I don't coach people 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 ever. Like, people never get the 11 habits in order. some people are going to get 1, 2, 3, 4, some people are going to get 5, 6, 7, 8. And so that's why it's kind of repetitive, and some of the habits overlap, where you might go through the same habits, but coming at it from a different perspective. So one person I might go planning, preparing, cooking, and the next person I might go breakfast, lunch, dinner. And really, you're coming down to planning, preparing, cooking on both, and you're coming to breakfast, lunch, dinner on both, but it'll make more sense for one person to look at it from a meal perspective, another person to look at it from like a glow, like this week we're working on planning. So that's another reason why it's so repetitive. For the people that are doing it, they're only going to pick one sequence and do that. And so that's another thing, just in terms of like usability for the book, you actually don't have to read it straight through. You're gonna pick the part you're gonna pick the sequence that's gonna matter for you, and you're gonna do that, and then you're gonna kinda go through the workout program. So,
well, if we talk about it anymore, they're not gonna buy the book because they'll have all the information. So I'm gonna just wrap this up with, is there anything else you would like to say other than buy the book?
No, that pretty much, no, I mean, I hope, so I would hope for, my greatest hope for the book would be that it has some impact on the way a lot of trainers look at coaching food, and they would look at moving away from dogmatically preaching magical macronutrient profiles or, you know, basically away from preaching like a diet philosophy to looking at, like, we could take any of those diets that are popular and how do we break those down in a way that our clients can actually absorb them in real life. And so I would hope that it actually gets trainers thinking about motivational interviewing and, you know, like the trans-theoretical model of behavior change and like how can we look at helping people do stuff versus what to do, because what to do is actually remarkably simple. So that's what I'd close out with.
Okay, excellent. Well, if you live in the Denver area and you're looking for a great trainer,
pick
Josh. If you are looking for someone to help coach you long distance, pick Josh.
Pick me.
And if you just want some really entertaining blogging and some celebrity gossip and diets and some other fun stuff, check out his website. The links are going to be on the page for this interview. And I'm going to wrap it up right there. This is Bill with Kosiaba Fitness. For the last hour or so, we've been talking with Josh Hillis, the author of Fat Loss Begins on Monday.
Happens on Monday.
I am so sorry. Fat Loss Happens on Monday, which will be out on the 28th of November.
Cool.
And everybody have a great day. And we're out. Let me show